What's her birthday? How many years? 151 years young today, folks. The U.S. is 242. Let's play a little bit with this, okay? They had another 91 years to get it better. In some ways they did, but let's be honest, we've got poutine. We've got maple syrup. We've got ketchup chips. Hallelujah. And they don't. Let me tell you some other things about Canada that you may not be aware of. Some of the Canadian inventions. Did you know that we in Canada, you can fire this up there, we rented the paint roller. Yeah, it's a Canadian invention. Come on. Can you imagine painting your home with a paintbrush? We also invented, I don't know if you guys remember these things. We're all over the map here. We invented the telephone, okay? Alexander Graham Bell, right? Amen. Keep going. Next one. We invented pagers. Does anybody know what a pager is? Yeah. I used to have one of those things. Canada, Canadian made. Next one. We invented insulin. Hallelujah. And the world has thanked us ever since. We invented... I thank the dear Lord for this. We have invented peanut butter. Actually, peanut butter was invented by a pharmacist in 1884. Just to help people digest better. So we've invented some really good stuff, okay? And I'm thinking, you know, we've invented some good stuff, but we've got a little ways to go, don't we, in some areas as Canadians. And, you know, as no matter what you think of him, President Donald Trump said, make America great again. And you know what? I think we need to make Canada great again. Don't you agree? I think we really need to work on what can we make our nation great again. 2 Chronicles 7, chapter 14. You know this one well, okay? And if you know it, you can recite it after me. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that in this day and age, right now in 2018, you would move upon our nation. You would start it in our lives. You would show us what we need to do to be the kind of people that honor you and make this nation a great nation. So Father, guide us as we look into your word here this morning. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. A few things we need to do to make Canada great again, folks. First of all, we need to be accountable. We need to be accountable, and to do that, we need to be inclusive. It says, if my people who are called by my name, I love that, if my people, I really, really love that. It brings me back to Peter, where Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen, come on, let's read it, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God has chosen us. God has selected us. God has brought us into his kingdom. See, folks, that's a reality that goes beyond our comprehension to even fathom that. But just so that your heads don't explode and get very big and thinking of how great I am, I want us to think about what the responsibilities is when it comes to this. See, because it's not about us being some sort of club, some sort of platinum culture club that gets together on a Sunday, excluding others. It's an inclusive thing that we're talking about right here. You know, last week, I don't know if you heard about this, but last week there was an altercation that happened on the SkyTrain, one of the SkyTrains. What happened was there were two ladies on this, well, there are others, but two ladies, and one lady was an Asian lady, and she was speaking in her language. Did anybody see this on the news? Yeah. Speaking in her language, and this other lady got very upset and told her to stop speaking in her language. She said, you're in Canada, you speak English. And this altercation went on for a while, and then she said something to her that I found very unreal in our nation. She said, "Why don't you go back home where you came from?" And I found it interesting because there was a Native man that was videoing this whole thing. And he says, you know, he said something very good. He says, we embrace every nation, every language. This is our land, all of our land. And see, here's the point when it comes to us as believers. God has called all of us to be part of his family. Regardless of our background, regardless of our language, regardless of anything, God wants all of us an inclusive family. See, back there, when this was written in 2 Chronicles, Solomon, if you look back to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, I find this very interesting. It says this in verse 32, "As for the foreigners who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays towards his temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you." So Solomon is saying, God, bring them all in. Bring them all in. If they're coming from different nations, bring them in. And when they pray, man, God, I want you to not look at one prayer above another. Let it all bring glory to you. Folks, we as God's people, if we're going to make this nation great again, we've got to be embracive. We've got to be reaching out to people, no matter what they look like, smell like, think like, taste like, anything. Taste like, not taste like, but we won't go there. But it comes to the place of being inclusive. Secondly, it said there's a place of responsibility. If my people who are called by my name. Now, my last name is Daze. There's a few things you got to know if you're going to be a Daze. First of all, you got to know how to pronounce the name properly. Okay? It's Daze. It's not Daisy. It's not Dassy. It's not Daze. Okay? I've been called all of those names. It's Daze. Okay, let's say it together. Daze. You're pretty close. That's good. Secondly, if you want to be a Daze, you gotta love fish. I'm sorry. If you just gotta love fish, love fishing would be a good idea as well. You gotta love the Lord. I want our clan to love the Lord, and we're praying for that for those that aren't. And there's some certain responsibilities. You know, I'm glad that I'm not Meghan Markle. Okay, you remember her? She's a Mountbatten Windsor now, okay? She is the new princess or whatever you want to call it. I'm glad I don't have to have her responsibilities. Now that she's married into that family, there's a few things, few responsibilities that she has. Here are some of them. First of all, she can't eat shellfish because she may get poisoned. So you can't eat shellfish. She can't take selfies. Okay, I can understand that. I don't like it when people stand there with these selfie sticks and they're like, I get it. Or you know the ones that wear the, I hope nobody does this, the big pads, and they're sitting like this and they're taking, and you know, so she can't take selfies. Thirdly, she can't stab her food with a fork. How do you eat food if you can't stab it with a fork, for crying out loud? Okay, number four, she can't play Monopoly. Apparently, Monopoly is a very violent game, and so I guess one of the royals was playing it, and there was some altercation. They said, "No, it's too vicious. Can't play it." Fifthly, she can't wear bright nail polish. Hallelujah. Sixthly, now this is a tough one. She can't go to bed before the Queen. Now I'm an early bedder. Anybody with me? I like to go to bed at like 10 o'clock. Is pushing it for me. And the Queen sometimes stays up till 11. I'm serious. And she can't, see, there's some responsibilities that she has by being married into this family. Listen, there's responsibilities you and I have by being called into God's family. Not the kind of responsibilities where we can't eat shellfish or praise God, or we can't play Monopoly or whatever. But God has called us to be responsible if we're going to bear his name. And see, there's something about having a name. In the Bible times, a name conveyed quite a lot. See, you just didn't pick a good name for your child. You picked a name that was relevant to who that child was. So for example, Jacob was named Jacob because he was a deceiver. He grabbed the heel of his brother on his way out into the world, and he grabbed everything else of his brother while he was in the world. He was a deceiver. And now his name was very applicable to him. Later on, God changed his name to what? Anybody remember? Israel, that's right, Prince of God. He changed his name and says, you know what, you've changed who you are, and now I'm going to change your name. By the way, my name has a very profound meaning. I know you want to know this, okay, so I'll throw this in here. My name, Wesley, that's my full name, means West Field or West Meadow. I'm a meadow boy, okay? I don't know what that means, okay? But a name carried a lot of weight, and when it comes to God's name, bearing God's name, it's not just about saying there Yahweh, the name Yahweh, it was everything to do with him has to be part of our lives. He is a holy God, and we are to be holy people. Folks, we need to have the characteristics of God, responsibility. If we are going to make Canada great again, we got to be responsible to being his children and living accordingly. How do we make Canada great again? We need to be accountable. We need, secondly, to be authentic. We need to be authentic. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I asked Dave, thank you, Dave, if I could borrow one of these. Now, this is a very special compass. It's Dave's compass. And I'm thinking, Dave, you may have used this to find your way around when you got that perfect piece of meat, moose meat for me. Thank you for that. But this is an incredible device because it tells me where north is. Does anybody know where north is? I do. It's right there. See, the compass is pointing that way, right? This would be south back there, just so you know. I'm wondering if there was such an animal or such a thing as a compass that could show where we are going when it comes to morality. If there would be a moral compass, I wonder where it would be pointing in our nation. What would it be showing us if we had a moral compass in how we live our lives? See, here's the thing. I think that as society goes, sometimes that's how the church goes, right? Shouldn't be the case, but sometimes as society goes, as the bar is lowered in society, we try to keep a little bit above, you know? We don't want to be like society, so we keep a little bit above, but our bar seems to lower. I'm wondering what would happen if we raised the bar. Come on, I wonder what would happen if we as a believers would begin to say, God, I want to raise the bar in my life. I want to be a little better, a little bit more, not like society, but like what you want us to be. When would that look? Would you think that would make a difference in our society? If everybody here would say, we want to raise the bar just a bit. Don't you think it would make a bit of difference when Christians would say, man, I'm going to stand a little bit higher, a little bit stronger, a little bit better. So, you know, it's interesting because here Solomon explains, how can we be authentic in our faith? How can we raise the bar? And he says, man, it's got to start with humility. It's got to start with humility. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. I've said it many times before from this platform. Humility isn't thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. It's looking at others and saying, how can I be thinking of them and not just myself? And so many times we point at the politicians or others and we say how arrogant they are. But we've got to be very careful, folks, that we live and walk a humble life. You know, I'm wondering... I'm wondering if I were to sit down with the people that are very close to you, the people that are closest to you, maybe your spouse, maybe your kids, maybe your best friend, whoever it is, and I would sit with them and I would ask them, tell me about your friend. Do they live a life of humility? I'm wondering what they would say. I'm wondering what they would say. And my prayer is that we would be known as humble people. Humble being, see, here's what we need to examine. We need to examine in our lives if we are completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. As Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 says, that we are not looking only to our own interests, but to the interests of others. 1 Peter 5, 6, that we are humbling ourselves before the mighty God, mighty hands of God. See, that's a commandment. And that's what God wants us to be living like. How is our humility? Let's raise the bar. Secondly, how is our prayer life? How is our prayer life? The Angus Reid Society or organization did a poll here in Canada, a poll about prayer. Now, granted, they asked very broad statements about prayer. We're not just talking about Christian prayer. We're talking about people who pray. So that may have been the Muslims, that may have been the Sikhs, maybe whoever. But just asking, are people actually praying? And this is what they found out. Now, I've got a couple of graphs up there. First of all, thinking back over the last year, how often, if at all, look at how big that is. How often, if at all, have you prayed privately or individually? And right across the board, they found 20% said they pray daily. We've got 10% several times a week, 5 once a week, 6 2 to 3 times. 32% say never. Okay, let's just leave that there for a second. Let's go to the next slide. What are you praying for when you're praying? They asked them this. What are some things that is important to you in prayer? Well, they asked these questions. To thank God. Are you praying to thank God? And those that are praying weekly to thank God, it's about 64%. Praise God for that. To ask for help, we've got, you can see the statistics there. To ask for help, 42% weekly. Overall, we have 52% to thank God. Overall, 49% to ask for help. To help others, 35% right across the board. To ask God's guidance, we've got 34% overall. To find peace, 30%. So there's some important things they're praying to ask God for. Next slide, please. Then they ask, when it's all said and done, do you think prayer, all responses who have prayed during this time, those that have prayed once a week, those prayed two or three times a week, so forth, when all is said and done, do you think it adds something to the lives of people who pray? 86% said, absolutely, it adds to my life when I pray. It adds something to the life of our community, of our country, of our world. 70% said, yes. It adds something to your life, prayer. 63% said yes. Overall, prayer seems to be a positive thing. But if we go back to that first slide, it says that 20% of people are praying daily. Let me ask you this. If these are statistics that are Canadian, and if these are statistics that are in the church, why do you think 80% of people are not praying daily? Why do you think that only 20% are praying daily? And I'm wondering, if you look at your own life, where do you fall in into these categories? Daily, several times a week, two or three times a month, about once a month, so forth. Where do you fall in? Is prayer important to you? See, here's the thing, folks. Nothing's going to happen in this church. Nothing's going to happen in your life. Nothing's going to happen in our country unless we are doing battle on our knees. Do you hear me? And I'm going to put in a little bit of a plug here this morning. We do have a number of prayer meetings that are meeting here every week. We've moved a Friday prayer to a Wednesday night, to make it a little bit more convenient for those that want the Friday off. Wednesday night, Harry, 7 o'clock, correct? 7 o'clock here. Come out to pray, even if it's only half an hour. Pre-service, we moved it into the auditorium. You know why? Because it's a long walk from that front door to the prayer room. No. We want people here. We want God to move here. So we're asking you, be here at 10. Be here to pray. If my people will pray. See, here's the thing, folks. We've lost some ground. We've lost some ground with Soji. Just recently, they've passed in Richmond that they will allow SOGI into the school, sexual orientation, gender identity curriculum, that talks about allowing children to experiment with homosexuality and so forth. It's now in Richmond. Can I just say something? I'm just one more plug. Tuesday night here at this church, we have invited some people in to talk about this issue of soji. 2 o'clock, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock here at the church. If you want more information, please show up. But we've lost some ground, and I think it may be because we're not on our knees as much as we should be. Folks, please, I beg of you, pray. If this country, anything's going to happen in this country, we need to pray. We certainly need to have a personal connection. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I absolutely cannot stand text messages or email messages when it comes to important things, okay? Because, you know it. You get a text message, and somebody sends you a text message that says something like, "How are you doing?" or something like that, okay? Or, "Have a great day." And they put it in caps letters. Now, you look at that, and you think, what does it mean? I heard people that got fired for putting everything in caps letters because it means that they're angry or something like that. Actually, let me give you a couple of other text messages that have actually come through. Go to the next slide. So there is a text message which is autocorrect. It says your great aunt just passed away. LOL. Why is that funny? It's not funny, David. What do you mean? Mom, LOL means laugh out loud. Oh my goodness, I sent that to everyone. I thought it meant lots of love. I have to call everyone back. You gotta kind of know. Next slide, I like this one too. Where is Granny? I thought she was going to be here for Thanksgiving. Granny is in the grave. What grave? What are you saying? Oops, sorry, garage. Oh, autocorrect. Like I said, do I have one more up there? Okay. Hey girl, it's Melanie from Old Navy. Could you take my shift tonight? Yeah, I'd love to take your hours. Yeah, thanks, you're the best. By the way, you have the wrong number. You should probably get ready for work. Text messages and emails can be misinterpreted. There's something about face-to-face, isn't there? You know, God wants to take face-to-face time with us. If you go back to Exodus chapter 33, I love this. This is God and Moses having a dialogue. And Moses says to God, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Next slide. He says, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. I love that. And you know what? You should underline that in your Bible. If your presence doesn't go with us, God, don't send us, because it's just not worth it. How will anyone know, Moses said, that you are pleased with me and with my people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on this face of this earth? Next slide. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you. Isn't that awesome? I wonder if God could sit up with us knee to knee, face to face, what he would say to us. You know, I really think he would say to us, I am pleased with you as you continue to serve me. I am pleased with you and I know you by name. We talked about what that means. When Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. Go to the next slide. Or is that it? That's it. See, here's what God did, and I love this. What God did is he said, Moses, I want to have that connection with you. I really, really do. But see, here's the thing. I can't show you my face. So what I'm going to do, Moses, you sit over there, and I'm going to put my hand over your face just for a second. I'm going to pass by you. But I want you to know I'm there, Moses. Can you see the intimacy there? Like it's like two children, two school kids just wanting to get to know each other. And that's the kind of thing God wants with us. He wants us to know him and for him to know us in an intimate manner. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face. God, I want to know you. I want to have that intimate connection with you. I want to have that experience, that superb experience that you're talking about, what you did here for Moses. I hope that you have that same desire, that we strive to be authentic. If we know him, if we are humbly devoted to him, it says, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Holiness means to be separated from God, or separated from the world and consecrated to God. If holiness means to be given unto God completely. God is calling us to be holy people, to turn from things that are evil and to turn to him, to fill our lives with the goodness of God. God, I want more of you. I want more of you in my life. Wondering what we're filling our lives with. I'm wondering what we are putting inside of us. There's a guy by the name of Michael Lotito. Oh my goodness. Michael Lotito. Is that probably right? Okay. That name. This guy had a medical condition called pica. I got that one right. Okay. It's caused by craving all sorts, eating all sorts of stuff. So he would like to eat dirt. He would like to eat plastic. He would like to eat metal. Actually, Michael, or Michelle, okay, he is French, right? Between 1959 and 1997, this guy ate bicycles, including the spokes. He ate an entire Cessna plane. They figure in those years he ate a total, this is truth, he ate a total of 9 tons of metal. Now, I'm thinking that's probably not good for you, right? Anybody agree with me? It's probably not the best thing for you to do. Don't try this at home, kids, okay? But he ate all this stuff, right? And in 2007, just after his 57th birthday, he died. I'm wondering if it had a little bit to do with his diet, right? Why do I tell you this? Because we have no problem understanding how absolutely foolish it is to eat a Cessna. But I wonder what we feed ourselves spiritually. What do we put into our spiritual body? What are we filling our lives with on a day-to-day basis? Are we filling ourselves with things that honor God? Or do we get consumed with things that are contrary to what God wants? Because see, here's the thing. In the same way, eating a tire will cause a bulge. Get it? That was good. I just picked that one up. It will cause problems for us with our physical being. In the same way, filling our lives with things that are contrary to God will cause problems, Lord, folks. Our problem is our relationship with the Lord. So I'm wondering, what are we filling our body with? See, I believe that if we're going to be people that make Canada great again, we got to be seeking after God. We will be looking for more of him, turning from those things that are not healthy for us and turning to him. What's the outcome? If we do all these things, what will be the outcome for that? I love verse 14. It says this, then, come on, let's read it together. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. You know, I don't know about you, but I think our land needs some healing. I think we need God to move in our land again. I think there are sins that need to be forgiven. I think that we need to have God hear our cries unto him. But there are requirements that we need to walk through before we get to this place, folks. I'm wondering, when you are looking at your life as a Canadian tonight, this. What kind of life are you living? What kind of relationship do you have with the creator of this country? In pre-service prayer, we talked about the fact that our founding fathers based this country, the dominion of Canada, upon the scriptures, that God would have dominion from sea to sea. And I'm asking you, does he have dominion? Does he have control in your life? Because see, here's the thing. If it can start here with us as believing Canadians, ones that love Jesus, And we can then share that with others. And we can begin to expand our influence and begin to take the word of God and make it a reality in our lives and encourage others as well. I believe we can make Canada great again. Amen. We're gonna in just a minute sing the national anthem. And I want us to sing this as a prayer unto God. God, keep our land glorious and free. Our freedoms are being eroded. God, keep our land glorious and free. And we're going to sing this song, and we're going to get some helpers to help us with that. But let's just pray as the musicians make their way up at this time. Father, our desire is to see our nation honor you. Our desire is to see people across this country from sea to sea to sea come in a place of surrender to you. And where your church is rising up, your people are rising up, the bar is being set high, and Father, that we are reaching high to the things of you. So I pray for our nation. I pray for our government. I pray, God, that you would stir their hearts, Father, in a fresh way, that they would come to the understanding that there is a God, there is a creator, and that this society, this country has been set upon the foundation of your word, Lord. Help us to once again come back to that place of surrender. So, Lord, we pray for our nation. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that we as believers, as those that love you, that we would be the best citizens, the best this country has because of our faith in you. God, keep our land is my prayer in Jesus' name.